Shalom to all. Today's office about Basar Daf Kufcha Beis, and we're starting Daf Kufcha Valfam and Beis on the bottom with the words Ibailahu. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Marshmarim Sarah Basar Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing the division of Eretz Yisrael. Ibailahu, that's the following question: Eretz Yisrael Shvatim Iflug Oydim LeKarkav Gavri Iflug. How was Eretz Yisrael divided? Was it divided based off of Shvatim, meaning it was divided into 12 equal portions, and each and every Shevet got the exact same portion? Which means that if the Shevet had more people, everyone got a smaller amount, and if the Shevet had fewer people, everyone got a larger amount. Or was it based off of Karkav Gavri, which is means per head, and there were 600,000 males coming into Eretz Yisrael, which means it was divided to 600,000 equal portions? The Gemara answers, Kofachal Beis Amud Alpha on the top, Tashma, let's have a right from a Braisa. The Pasuk tells us, Bein Rav Lama'at, whether more or less. And that's Mashma, that every Shevet got an equal portion, regardless of how many people were in the Shevet. Va'aytanyan, also we have a Braisa that tells us as follows, Asid Eretz Yisrael Shetzchal Kashlesh Asr Shvatim, Eretz Yisrael eventually, meaning in the times of Mashiach, is going to be divided among 13 Shvatim. Shevet Chil and Shetzchal Kashlesh Asr Shvatim. Originally, by the first division, it was only among 12 Shvatim. Levi was not included in the Chalukah. Everyone had to give some cities to Levi, but they didn't get their own official portion. And we know the Shevet Yosef got two, one for Menashe, one for Ephraim. And already over here, as the Gemara is going to conclude in a while, we see that Eretz Yisrael was divided equally among the Shvatim, not per head basis. Now the passage just continues, Lan Yitzchak El B'Kesef, it was only divided by money. Shnever, the pasuk says, Bein Rav L'Ma'at, and Amar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda explains, Sav Yehuda Shav Chamish Son Begalil, that a Sav land in Yehuda was worth five son Galil. In other words, since land in Yehuda is worth five times as much as in Galil, one whose portion was in Yehuda had to pay the difference to the northerner. For example, a fellow who received a portion worth $100 would have to pay $40 to his counterpart in the Galil. Turns out that each one's receiving $60, and that's what it means, El B'chasef. The Brass continues, Len Yitzchalka El B'gayrol, it was only divided by lottery. Shemar Kaza Pasuk says, Ach B'gayrol. And also, Len Yitzchalka El B'Urim V'tumim, is only divided based off of the Urim V'tumim. Shemar Kaza Pasuk says, Al Pi HaGayrol. And that's Mashma Urim V'tumim. Ask the Gemara HaKetzad, how is that possible? If it was divided by lottery, then what do we have the Urim V'tumim for? And if the Urim V'tumim was the one that divided it, then what's the lottery for? And the answer is, Alazim Rul B'Shar V'tumim. Elazar, who was a kohen gadol, he wore the Urim V'tumim. The Yeshua of Chol Yisrael in front of, and Yeshua and all of Am Yisrael was standing in front of him. The Kalpi Shal Shvatim and Kalpi Shal Tchumim Nachal in front of, and there were two boxes, one that had a bunch of pieces of paper or pieces of wood, perhaps, that had all the names of Shvatim written on them, and the other box had all the Tchumim, all the different boundaries and border areas that was inside the second box. And Vahay Mechavim Ruch Hakodesh, Elazar would Mechavim with Ruch Hakodesh based off of the Urim V'tumim. By he would say as follows: Zvulun Ayla, the Shevet Zvulun is going to come up when we take out one of the lots in a moment, and Tchum Akai Ayla Imai, the Tchum of Akai is going to come up with him. What happened? Tarf Bekalpi Shal Shvatim, the person who's drawing the lots, he would mix up the lots in the box of Shvatim, v'al biyadei Zvulun, and Zvulun would come up. Tarf Bekalpi Shal Tchumin, and then he would mix up the box of the lots of Tchumin, v'al biyadei Tchum Akai, and Tchum of Akai would come up in his hand. So we see that it was both based off of the Urim V'tumim and the lottery system. And v'chayz mechav b'ruch ha-kaydesh, he once again would be mechav with ruch ha-kaydesh, v'ayim and say, Naftali oyle v'tchum ginoyser oyle imay, then Naftali is going to come up next, and ginoyser is going to come up with him, and Tarf Bekalpi Shal Shvatim, he mixed up the lots of the box of Shvatim, v'al biyadei Naftali, Naftali came up, Tarf Bekalpi Shal Tchumin, v'al biyadei Tchum ginoyser, and v'chayin kol shevet shevet. That's how every single Shevet worked. The Brisa continues, the division in Olam Hazeh, meaning when Yeshua divided the land, is not going to be like Olam Haba, meaning it's not going to be like in the times of Mashiach. Olam Hazeh, Adam Yeshali saw the Lavan, and he saw the Pardes. And the division that happened in this world, a person who got a stay Lavan, which is basically a grain field, he usually didn't get a Pardes, an orchard, and saw the Pardes, and he saw the Lavan. If he got an orchard, he didn't get a grain field, because usually everyone got one particular type of land, not all different types. However, Olam Haba, in the times of Mashiach, you're not going to have a single person that doesn't have all three types of land. Har is like a mountainous region, Shvel is the lowlands, and Amek is a valley. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, Shar Ruvain Echad, Shar Yehuda Echad, Shar Levi Echad. And even though the word Echad over here literally means one, we're understanding it to mean that everyone got the same exact portion. And also, Hashem is going to be the one to divide the portions. Because the pasuk says, Hashem. So we see that Hashem is the one dividing the portions. Obviously, it's going to be through the Navi, but it's going to be through Dvar Hashem, not through a lottery system or through the Urim V'tumim. Now, what do we see from this Braisa? As we already mentioned in the beginning, Tani Mias, at any rate, it taught Shebetchil and Ischalka El Shnebasar Shvatim, the originally land was divided by 12 Shvatim, Shmamino. We see from here, L'Shvatim Iflug Shmamino, it's a clear raya that the land was divided equally among the 12 Shvatim, and then it was divided among the people of the Shevet, which means, again, as we said, if the Shevet was very numerous, then everyone would receive a smaller portion, and if the Shevet did not have so many people, then everyone would receive a larger portion. And now we continue discussing this Aramayr we just stated in the Braisa. I see that Eretz Yisrael Shechalka Shleshasar Shvatim, Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided among 13 Shvatim. The question is, Idach Laman, who's going to get that 13th portion? Even though we know that Levi will eventually get a portion, B'Maisa Mashiach, Menashe and Ephraim's portions are going to be combined and they're not going to get two. So that means that all the Shvatim are really going to get 12. Who's the 13th portion for? Amar Chiz, the answer is, L'Nasi, it's for the Nasi, and the Nasi over here is referring to Melech HaMashiach. Dichsev, because the Pasuk says, V'ha'ayver ha'ir yavdu mikol shevtei Yisrael, and the servant of the city will work it from all the Shvatim of Yisrael. And we know that a true leader is there to service the people, and English is actually a term, a civil servant, and therefore the Pasuk over here is referring referring to Mashiach, that he's going to work this land, and it's coming, Mikol Shifte Yisrael, all the Shvatim are going to give Mashiach a little bit of their portion. Now, Amalei Papa Papai, or Papa Asked Abai, Emma, why didn't I say, Ragnar Ba'alma, that there's just going to be workers working the property, but not that it's Mashiach? And the answer is, don't think that, because the Pasuk says, V'hanoyser l'nasi mizeh u'mizeh l'chumas ha'kodesh l'chuz ha'sa'ir, that the leftover, the extra portion, if you will, from this one and from that one, for chumas ha'kodesh and for achuz ha'sa'ir, and this Pasuk is telling us explicitly, as we mentioned just before, that every single Shevet is going to give a little bit of their portion to Mashiach himself. We continue explaining the Brass, which had said, V'lan ischaka el ksafim is divided based off of monetary value. Shnemar it says, Bein rav l'ma'at. The question is, l'may, in regards to what? Ilim el shofar v'sanya, if it has to do with something that's worth a lot and not worth so much, atu b'shiftani eskinon, do you think we're dealing with fools? The way we had explained it is that the person from Yehuda who got a much more valuable land, he's going to pay off the guy in Galil. But that's very foolish if we're going to understand it just simply like that, because being paid off in money doesn't mean that your property is more valuable. At the end of the day, the guy in Galil only has a property that's worth $20. And so why is it worth it for him just to receive $40 when the guy in Yehuda, bottom line, has a property worth $100? El rather, must be lekrev ruchayka, we're talking about one that's closer and further away. Property in Yerushalayim is close because it's right next to the Beis HaMikdash. And if it's in Galil, for example, it's very far away from the Beis HaMikdash. And not only that, property in Yerushalayim is much more safer to be in because it's further away from the border. As opposed to Galil, you're very close to the border and it can be very dangerous. You're near the enemy. You're open to attack. And therefore, according to this Mandamar, the person in Galil actually received 5 times the amount of property that the person in Yehuda did. So he received $100 worth of property, and that would mean that he would get 5 saw, for example, when the person in Yehuda only got 1 saw. And besides for that, there was also some sort of monetary compensation for being very far away. However, it's not so simple, says the Gemara, Ketanai, it's a machalikas tanoim. Rebbe Lezer says, Piksafim ha'elua, a person was only paid off monetarily, whereas Rebbe Shuaimer, he tells us, Bekarka ha'elua, the person got more karka, he got more property. We continue explaining the Braiso, we had several lines, Chaka el Bagarol, it was only divided by Garol, by the lottery system, Shinem, because the Pasuk says, Ach Bagarol. And Tana was taught in the Braiso, Ach Bagarol, what's his lashon of Ach? Ach is always an exclusion. So who are we excluding from the Garol? The answer is, Yatsu Yeshua v'Kalev, it's excluding Yeshua and Kalev that they weren't part of the lottery system. The question is, Lamai, in regards to what were they not part of the lottery system? Even if you want to say, Deloy Shakal Klau, that they didn't get any property from the Shevet at all because their Shevet got by lottery, and if they're excluded from the lottery, that means they don't get a portion from their Shevet. How can that be? Asha Delav did who Shakal, now that they took something that's not theirs, did Humi Baya? Do you have to even say that they get something that's theirs? We had learned previously that Yeshua and Kalev took the Nachla of the other Meraglim, and that's something that's not theirs because it really was supposed to go to other Meraglim. So if we see that they're getting something that wasn't supposed to be theirs, of course they received something that was supposed to be, meaning of course they got Nachla along with their Shevet. So what does that mean that they were excluded from the Gairol? The answer is, El, rather, Shaloi Natu B'Gairol, El Al Pi Hashem. They didn't get along with their Shevet based off of the Gairol, they got directly from Hashem. How do we know this? Yeshua, in regards to Yeshua, the Chesed says in the Pasuk, Al Pi Hashem, Nasnu Layas Ho'ir Asher Shal Es Timna Sarach B'Har Ephraim, because of the word of Hashem, Al Pi Hashem, they gave him the city that he asked for, which is called Timna Sarach in Har Ephraim. Now, once we mention the city that Yeshua received, we continue talking about it. Kovchal Bezon Bezon on top. Ksevit says Sarach in this pasuk that we just quoted. Uksevit, another pasuk, calls it Cheres. So is it Timnas Cheres or Timnas Sarach? And the answer is, Amar Blazer explains, Betchila Perasak Cheres. Before Yeshua got it, all the fruits that grew there were like Cheres. They were like pottery. They were dry and not very good quality. Ulbesaif. But afterwards, when he got it as an Achla, Perasaha Masrichen, its pears would be Masriach. They would spoil quickly, which is a good thing because that means that the fruit became juicy and plump and delicious, and they don't last for too long because they're so juicy and rich. And that's a one time the pasuk calls it cheres, and the other time it calls it sarach. Now, the Ikadamri, some say the exact opposite. Betchila masrichin. Originally, before Yeshua got as an achla, all the fruits were masriach. It would spoil very quickly and wouldn't last long. Ulbasaif kecheres, and afterwards they became like cheres, like pottery, which means they lasted a very long time, which is great. Now, moving on to Kalev, how do we know that he got his nachla al pi Hashem and not through a gairol? Dechsev, because the pasuk says, Vayitnu l'Kalev as cheren kasher diber Moshe, and cheren was given to Kalev like Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Vayarish misham as shlosh b'nei anok, and he drove out from there. He expelled from there the 3 sons of the giants. Now we just ask, Chevron, Ir Miklat Havoi, how could we say that he received Chevron as his portion? It's an Ir Miklat. We know that there are certain cities of refuge that if a person kills accidentally, he runs to the city. And those cities were owned by the Levium. So how could Kalev, who was not a Levi, have Chevron as his city? And the answer is, Amrabai, Parvara means all the outskirts, the outer areas of the city, not the city itself. The Chesed Kazu Pasuk says, Vesdeho Ir Veschatze Reha, Nosul Kalev Ben Yifun Bachuzasoi, that the fields of the city, which are basically the fields outside the city, and its Chatzeirois, which over here does not mean courtyards, it's referring to the outlying villages, those were given to Kalev as a Zachuza. And moving on to another Mishnah, continuing to talk about Yerusha, Echra ben ve'echra bas benachla, both the son and daughter are equal in regards to Nachla. Ella, except for Shaben Noitel Pishnaim benechsoa ve'in Noitel Pishnaim benechsoaim, a son gets double in his father's Nechasim, but he doesn't get double in his mother's Nechasim. And pay attention to this word Ella, because it's going to be a focus of the next Gemara. The Mishnah just continues, Vabanus Zuzanis benechsoa av, the daughters get their sustenance, they get their food from the nechassim of the father. If the father dies and he leaves over sons and daughters, so we know that the son inherits and the daughter does not. However, the daughters do receive their sustenance, their food. They get supported from their father's estate, but they do not get supported from their mother's estate when their mother dies. The sons take everything and the daughters don't get anything. Something more asked in the beginning of the Mishnah, what does that mean that the son and the daughter are equal in regards to Nachla? Elam, if you want to say diyarti ki adadi, that they inherit equally, that when a father dies and he leaves over, let's say, one son and one daughter, they're going to each get 50% of the estate. That can't be because Atanan, we already have a Mishnah that says, ben kadim labas, a son comes before the daughter, and kol yotzei recha shel ben kadim labas, anyone that comes from the son, all of his descendants come before a daughter as well. As we already mentioned, if a person dies and he leaves over a son of his son and a daughter, it goes to the grandson and not to the daughter. So what is our Mishnah talking about? And now in the parentheses, we have a siman for the upcoming Gemara, which is Nafsham, that refers to names that I'm running that are going to answer this. Nun stands for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Fei stands for Rav Papa, Shin stands for Rav Ashi, and Mem stands for Mar Bar Rav Ashi. So here's our first attempt at answer. Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he answers, Hachagamar, this is what the Mishnah is saying, Echra ben ve'echra bas, noitlin baroi kiba muchsek. That both the son and daughter get roi like muchsek, meaning when their father dies, not only do they inherit what their father was muchsek in, what he owned at the time of his death, but they also inherit something that would have been inherited by the father had he been alive. For example, after their father died, their grandfather died, so they get their father's portion in their grandfather's Yerusha, and that's considered roi. The Gemara says, that can't be Honami Tanino. We already learned that in Mishnah previously. The daughters of Salafchad, they got three portions of Nachla. The chelik of their father, he was one of the people left Mitzrayim, and his chelik that he gets along with his brothers in the nechasim of his father, Chefer, which is their grandfather. So we already see from that Mishnah that a person inherits their grandfather. Furthermore, my Ella. What's this understanding of the word Ella in the Mishnah? If the Mishnah is beginning with a similarity between a son and a daughter, then Ella has to be the difference between them. Problem is, the Mishnah says very clearly that Ella is the difference between the son's rights and his father and mother's property, nothing to do with the daughter. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak's explanation does not fit with the word Ella in the Mishnah. Ella, rather, Amar Papa, Papa tells us, this is what the Mishnah is saying, both his son and daughter are going to get a double portion. In other words, they're going to get a double portion in their grandfather's estate if their father was a Bechar. Obviously, when we're talking about a daughter, it's referring to where there's no son and only the daughter's inheriting, so she would get that double portion because of her father. The Gemara says that can't be either. Hanami Tanino, that's also taught in the Mishnah. We had this Mishnah previously, Vishaya Bechar, Neutel Shnei Chalakim. Salafchad was a Bechar, Benayt Salafchad, his daughters, got a double Chalak. And furthermore, my Ella. Once again, how do we understand this word Ella in the Mishnah? The word Ella has to be describing a difference between a son and a daughter, and in the Mishnah, it's very clearly describing just the son, not the daughter. Ella Marvashi, here's our third attempt. Hachikamar, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Echad Bein, Bein Habanim, Ve'echad Bas Bein Habanois, whether we're talking about a son among other sons, or if there's no sons and there's only daughters, one daughter among the other daughters, Im Amar, if the father says, Yarsh Kal Nechasai, that this one in particular should inherit all my Nechasim, Dvar V'Kayamin, his words are upheld. In other words, let's say there's five boys, or there's no boys and there's five girls, and before he dies, the father says, I want so-and-so son or so-and-so daughter to inherit all of my Nechasim, and no one gets anything else. That's something we would listen to. If the father says, I want my brother or my father or a different distant relative to inherit me and not my children, that we would not listen to. But if he chooses to give everything to one of his children, whether a son or, again, if there's no sons, one of his daughters, then we would listen to him. The Gemara asks, hold on 1 second. Come on, who is this like? Rabbi Yechon Breika. It seems to be like Rabbi Yechon Breika. Well, Hakatani Lola, come on. We already learned this later on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yechon Breika tells us, Im Amar al Misha Roy Liyarshai Dvar Kayamin. If the father says it's about someone who's able to Yarshin him, meaning one of his immediate Yarshim, namely his son or daughter, so then we're going to listen to what he says. Whereas al Misha Ene Roy Liyarshai, if he says about somebody who's not first in line Yerusha, like we gave an example, his father or his brother, and Dvar Kayam, so we don't listen to him. See the Shita later on in the Mishnah. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. V'chitim, if you want to suggest that no, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yechon Breika. It's just like he saw some like Rabbi Yechon Breika. The Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. It doesn't have the name of a Tan attached to it. And by doing so, our Mishnah is trying to emphasize that the halacha would be like Rabbi Yechon Breika because we know that the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. That can't be either because Stam Archach Machlekesi, this would be set up as first having a Stam Mishnah that's ours and later on having a Mishnah which is a Machlekes. Stam Archach Machlekes ain't a halacha Stam. Whenever we have a Stam and then a Machlekes, the halacha is not like a Stam Mishnah. It's only if it's the other way around. If we first have a Mishnah that there's a Machlekes and then later on there's a Mishnah that only quotes one of those opinions and lists it as a Stam, doesn't attach a Tana's name to it, so then that's the halacha. But here it's the reverse. So it can't be that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yechon Breika. But furthermore, we have the same issue that we have the previous answers. My Ella. Want to understand the word El in the Mishnah? Again, the word El in the Mishnah is supposed to be telling us the difference between a son and a daughter, and the Mishnah clearly is not telling us that. Ella, rather, here's our final answer. Amar Mar Bravashi tells us, Hachkamer, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Echra ben ve'echra bas, shavin b'nechseo em v'nechseo av. The son and daughter are equal in regard regards to inheriting from their father and mother. El rather, here's the difference. The son, if he's a Bechor, he's only going to double in his father's Nechasim, but not in his mother's Nechasim. And that's the answer to the Mishnah. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with a lengthy discussion regarding a Bechor taking double. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.